Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter, Anna Mateo, and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, Afghan health officials say militants are interfering in their effort to protect children in western Afghanistan against poliovirus. Abdul-Jabbar Shaikh is head of the health department in Farah province. He told VOA that the Taliban is blocking efforts to provide polio vaccine in some unsafe areas. He said the group wants the power to decide who vaccinates the children. Shaikh told VOA, "Armed Taliban do not accept our standards and push for their conditions in an effort to control the vaccination process. They do not allow the vaccination campaign to be implemented independently." He added that the Taliban is not directly opposing the vaccination campaign. He said its members are making it difficult for vaccinators to do their job correctly and to follow international standards. Afghanistan has the largest number of registered polio cases in the world. Activists in Farah province want opposing sides to not politicize the vaccination campaign. One activist, Nasim Minawal, told VOA, "The campaign is important and does not belong to the government or any other group." He added that this is an important preventive program for children. Children who are suffering from polio because of lack of vaccination have no treatment whatsoever. Minawal called on the Taliban not to interfere with the process and to let health workers do their jobs. Some tribal leaders are calling on local leaders in rural areas to use their influence to help with the vaccinations. Hamidullah Khan is a tribal leader in Farah. He believes efforts to block the vaccinations are non-Islamic. He told VOA that he wants community leaders to support vaccination efforts. "I call on religious scholars, tribal leaders, and community members not to politicize polio vaccination," Khan said. He added that they should be concerned for the well-being of their children and make sure they receive the vaccination in a timely manner. Records from the Afghan Ministry of Public Health show a decrease in the total number of polio cases from 2017. 14 polio cases were reported in Afghanistan last year. This year, there have been 10 cases.
Two Americans and one Briton have won the 2018 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for developing new processes used to create drugs, chemicals, and biofuels. Francis Arnold of the California Institute of Technology will receive half the prize, worth about $1 million. The other half will be shared by George Smith of the University of Missouri and Gregory Winter of the MRC Molecular Biology Laboratory in Cambridge, England. The Swedish Royal Academy of Sciences said, Arnold used the processes of natural selection to create enzymes. Enzymes are complex proteins that make many chemical reactions possible. The Academy described the process as being similar to biological evolution. It said the Nobel winners applied the power of evolution and used the same principles, genetic change and selection, to develop proteins that solve mankind's chemical problems. Arnold first tested her method of what has been called directed evolution in 1993. Others now commonly use it to create new enzymes. These enzymes can be used in chemical processes that produce medicines. They also can be used to help create chemicals that are safe for the environment and to make biofuels. The other half of this year's Nobel Prize for Chemistry will be shared by George Smith and Gregory Winter. Smith developed a method to make new biological proteins in 1985. Smith's method is known as phage display. In this process, viruses that can infect bacteria, known as bacteriophages, are used to produce new proteins that are not believed to exist in nature. Winter used Smith's phage display method to create new kinds of antibodies. Antibodies are proteins that help fight infection in the body. Winter's aim was to use phage display to make new medicines. The first medicine based on Smith's and Winter's methods, adalimumab, also known as Humira, was approved by drug officials in 2002. It is a popular way to treat rheumatoid arthritis, some skin diseases, and inflammatory bowel diseases. The drug is also costly, creating billions of dollars in sales around the world. The Academy says in recent years the phage display method has created antibodies able to do a wide number of health-related tasks. Newly created antibodies can make some poisonous substances safe, fight autoimmune diseases, and even cure some forms of cancer. After learning that he had won the Nobel Prize, Smith spoke to the Associated Press. The 77-year-old chemist said his discoveries could not have been made without the earlier work of many others. Very few research breakthroughs are novel. Virtually all of them build on what went on before, he said. Arnold, who is 62 years old, joins four other women who have won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry. She spoke to Reuters after hearing that she had won the Nobel Prize. Some people breed cats and dogs, she said. I breed molecules. The Nobel Prize for Chemistry is one of the five prizes first given in 1901. They were the wish of Swedish industrialist Alfred Nobel, who established the organization that provides money for the prizes. The awards honor discoveries that have provided the greatest benefit to mankind. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is what's trending today. Chinese officials have ordered X-Men actor Fan Bingbing to pay $130 million in taxes and fines. The move ends the mystery over her disappearance from public view 3 months ago. Fan Bingbing is one of China's most famous actors. In 2016, Forbes listed her as one of the highest-paid female actors in the world. China's state news agency Xinhua reported that Fan would not be investigated for the crime of tax evasion as long as she pays the taxes, fines, and late fees of almost 900 million yuan, about $130 million. The Xinhua report said Fan avoided taxes by making a $20 million secret performance contract for the Chinese film Unbreakable Spirit. It is a common custom in Chinese show business for actors to make one private contract with high pay and another public contract showing much lower pay. The report said the investigation serves as a warning to all show business performers in China. Fan apologized on the social media site Weibo.com. "I am unworthy of the trust of the society and let down the fans who love me." She wrote that she accepts the tax officials' decision and will overcome all difficulties and raise funds to pay back taxes and fines. The post is her first update on Weibo.com since June 2nd. Fan has starred in several movies and TV series in China. She is best known internationally for her performance in the X-Men and Iron Man films. Before her disappearance, she was to appear with Penelope Cruz in the Hollywood film 355. She also has a part in the upcoming movie Airstrike with Bruce Willis. I'm Anna Mateo.
There have been many books written and movies made describing the ability of people to communicate through thoughts. While this idea has not been demonstrated in reality, physicists and neuroscientists have reported some progress in recent years. Now, scientists say they successfully connected the brains of three people who were able to send thoughts to each other. A group of researchers reported their new findings in a scientific paper posted on the internet. The scientists from the University of Washington and Carnegie Mellon University say they believe their experiment is the very first of its kind. The team used electronic tools to complete the test of brain-to-brain communication. It was not the first time this same group of researchers connected different human brains, MIT Technology Review reports. In 2015, they used similar equipment to link up the brains of two people. Part of that experiment involved the two test subjects playing a simple word game, the publication said. The group calls its new project BrainNet. It described the system as the first direct brain-to-brain interface designed to help people cooperate in problem solving. In the experiment, the scientists said only brain-to-brain communication was used as the three individuals played a video game together. The game was a simplified version of the video game Tetris, which became hugely popular in the 1980s. In the game, players try to match colored blocks falling onto a puzzle. Two kinds of electronic devices were worn by people taking part in the experiment. Electroencephalograms, or EEGs, were used to record electrical brain activity of subjects. The other, called transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, is a process that magnetically stimulates a part of the brain. This was used to send information to others involved in the experiment. During the game, two players were chosen as senders and a third as a receiver. The senders had brain signals decoded using real-time EEG information. The decoding process recorded each sender's decisions about suggested moves in the game. The sending and receiving of information was carried out by the subjects looking at different forms of light. The decisions were then transmitted through the internet to the brain of the receiver, who could not see the video game. The receiver then uses the information from the senders to decide on what game moves to make. An additional part of the game provided a second chance for senders to examine the receiver's decision and send feedback to the receiver's brain. The researchers said experiments were carried out with five different groups, each with three human subjects. They reported all the groups were able to use BrainNet to perform the game moves with a success rate of 81%. The scientists added noise to one sender's signal to test whether that would affect the receiver's responses. They reported that the receivers learned to recognize the most reliable senders by using only the information transmitted to their brains. The researchers wrote that the results raise the possibility of future brain-to-brain interfaces that enable cooperative problem-solving by humans using a social network of connected brains. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Zachary Taylor, the 12th president. He took office in 1849. Taylor had some things in common with earlier presidents. Like six others before him, he was born in Virginia. Like George Washington and Andrew Jackson, Taylor was a war hero. And, like William Henry Harrison, he died in office. But Taylor brought at least one special trait to the presidency. Although he was officially elected as a member of the Whig Party, Taylor considered himself an independent. When Zachary Taylor was a baby, his family left Virginia. They moved west to a tobacco plantation in Kentucky. There, the Taylors were financially successful. By the time Zachary was a young man, his family owned a number of enslaved people and over 4,000 hectares of land. Taylor took possession of some of his family's land. He also had cotton plantations in the southern states of Mississippi and Louisiana. He, too, depended on enslaved people to do most of the work. But Taylor was unlike many wealthy farmers in the South. He had always wanted to be a soldier. When Taylor was 24 years old, he became an officer in the U.S. Army. Shortly after, he married Margaret Smith. In time, they had 5 daughters and 1 son. But Taylor directed most of his attention to his military career. For about 20 years, he tried to keep peace between Native American tribes and white Americans. Sometimes the job meant leading attacks against Native Americans. At times, it meant defending their lands from white settlers. In either case, his public standing as a good soldier grew. His troops called him Old Rough and Ready because he was willing to fight and suffer alongside them. Then, in the Mexican-American War of the 1840s, Taylor became really famous. He led U.S. troops to victory in several major battles, including ones at Monterrey and Buena Vista. In a well-known story, the powerful Mexican general Santa Anna surrounded Taylor and his small number of troops. Santa Anna sent a message demanding that they surrender. Taylor reportedly said, "Tell him to go to hell." The two sides clashed the next morning. Santa Anna had about 3 times the men that Taylor had. Yet, by late that day, Taylor's soldiers had defeated Santa Anna's. Taylor's success as a general helped the United States win the war against Mexico. In the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, Mexico agreed to give up claims to or sell to the U.S. more than 1.3 million kilometers of its lands, including what are now the states of Texas and California. But the new lands almost immediately caused problems. At the time of the next U.S. presidential election, public opinion in the country was severely divided. The issue was whether to permit slavery in the new lands won at the end of the war with Mexico. In general, Northerners opposed expanding slavery. In general, Southerners supported it. To appeal to both these groups, the major parties at the time looked to Taylor to be their candidate for president. The Democrats and the Whigs reasoned that Taylor was already well-known and well-liked. Historian Michael Holtz said, in 1848, Taylor was the most popular man in America. But Taylor was not really political. He called himself an independent. He shared some beliefs with both major parties at the time. But mostly, he wanted to keep the nation together. In the end, he agreed to be the candidate of the Whig Party. During the campaign, he did not take a stand on any of the major issues. His fame as a military general carried him into the White House. The truth was that Taylor did have an opinion on slavery. He did not want to expand it, especially in areas that did not support cotton or sugar farms. So, once in office, he proposed a change to the rules about how new territories would become states. The change would let white American male settlers in California and New Mexico decide whether they wanted slavery. Then those areas could enter the Union immediately as states. Taylor aimed to quiet the debate about slavery, but his idea angered almost everybody. Some U.S. lawmakers believed the president had cut them out of the decision. Northerners said Taylor's proposal did not go far enough. It did not solve some of the other issues related to slavery. And Southerners realized that settlers in California and New Mexico would almost surely reject slavery and give free states a majority in Congress. In one dramatic incident, some South Carolina officials called a meeting to discuss withdrawing from the Union. In answer, Taylor threatened to hang them. But before Taylor or his idea could get too far, the president became sick. The story is that he attended outdoor celebrations to mark the nation's birthday, July 4th. Then he went for a walk. The weather was very hot. To cool off, Taylor ate uncooked fruit and drank iced milk. That night, he told others about pain in his stomach. 5 days later, he was dead. His doctor wrote that Taylor died of cholera morbus, a general term for severe digestive problems. A few people thought he might have been poisoned. The suspicion remained until 1991, when medical officials examined Taylor's remains. They confirmed that he died of natural causes. A more recent study offers more details. Jane McHugh and Philip A. Makoviak say that Taylor was a victim of the same problem that killed Presidents William Henry Harrison and James Polk: dirty water in the White House. Taylor's death, while unfortunate, did not cause a political crisis. John Tyler had already established the rule that if a president dies in office, the vice president becomes president. But Taylor's death did likely change the direction of history. His replacement, Millard Fillmore, did not try to hold the Union together by force. Instead, he joined with politicians who wanted to compromise on the issue. The compromise legislation delayed but did not really settle the debate. In time, the division between North and South led to the American Civil War. And members of Taylor's own family became linked to the states that withdrew from the Union. One of his daughters had married Jefferson Davis, who became the president of the Confederacy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.